Brother Joe, he's asked me to stand here tonight, and I thank him for that. And I just want to be able to stand before God and be able to bring a few words that'll be beneficial to your heart and be an encouragement to you. And over in First Peter chapter 1, we just want to, verses 18 through 20, want to get started here, and just pray for me. No matter how many times I get up here, I get nervous, and you know, don't get a lot of opportunities. And I hope in the future the Lord will be able to give me more opportunities to stand and preach. But I just thank God for being here tonight, and most of all for God saving my soul and giving me a home in heaven. And I do look forward to that time to being in heaven. Seeing Jesus Christ face to face, seeing my loved ones have gone on before, you know, mom and dad has gone on before, and be able to see them again. And, you know, to the lost person, there's a lot of mystery about what we believe. You know, they have no clue. I mean, I remember not too many years ago, you knock on a door and say, "Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" People had an inkling and knowing what you said, but nowadays people have no idea. People have no idea what you're talking about. They may have heard the name of Jesus, you know, in the news story or on a documentary somewhere. They may have heard that, and of course most of the documentaries that are out now are false, so they certainly are not getting a a true, accurate portrayal of Christ. But, you know, I get to thinking of going back to Genesis in the beginning, where God created the heavens and the earth. And he created, you know, man, and he created woman in his image. He created them, the animals and the birds and the fish. You know, he created the sun and the moons and the stars, you know. But I want to preach on tonight. It says, the title is this: Before There Was a World, There Was a Way. And I guess you want to preach on four different things there, four different mysteries that I guess it was definitely mysteries in the beginning of the world, and God has revealed those over time. He's revealed them to us, and of course, they are still mysteries to the lost. They are still mysteries to the world, and it is our, our duty, I hate the word use duty, but our a desire to go out in this world and tell people the simplicity of the gospel and share with them the simplicity of what Christ done for us. But the first one, it says, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. You know, and I just, here in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 20, the Bible talks about, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And I just thank God that, you know, we have you know, God telling us that, you know, before the foundation of the world, that we had a way, that God was preparing a way for us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, that even though before there was a sinner, before Adam and Eve, we talk about Adam and Eve being in the garden, of course, when they was created in the garden, they lived a certain a time frame there before they sinned. And God knew, you know, before he created the world, he knew that Adam and Eve was going to take the fruit, and the serpent was going to beguile, you know, Eve, and they was going to sin. You know, God, even though when he was telling them, he said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said he knew in his heart and mind that they was going to disobey him. And but he, so, you know, he had to make a plan, just like anyone makes a plan. He planned before Adam and Eve sinned, or before even Satan beguiled them, that that he, or even before God created the heavens and the earth, that he had a way, that he was already preparing that way and letting Adam and Eve and Satan know that there is going to be a way. Even though they're sinning, they're doing wrong, there is going to be a deliverance from what they're doing. Over in Genesis, of course, we read in Genesis, it says, just after talking to the serpent here, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's God, telling Satan, it's like, you're telling us about what Christ is going to do, or what he is going to do with Christ in the future, that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, that he was buffeted and he was bruised, for our iniquities, we know that that God was preparing, that God was telling us about that lamb that was spoken of, in Genesis chapter 3, just in the beginning of time, he was already telling us that that there's going to be a way here. And not only a lamb spoken of, but then, of course, and that's the prophecy of the foretelling. And then we see a lamb sent. When Jesus was born into the world, a little more of God's eternal plan became visible. We know that that when Jesus Christ was born, that we could see the lamb, that the prophecy was telling us that, Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and Jesus Christ would be sent to take away our sins, as John the Baptist talked about here in John 1:29, that says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. John the Baptist telling us, looking at Jesus Christ in the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry there, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world, and we see the prophecies in Genesis about God making a way. And then we see God making a way through the birth of Christ, sending Jesus Christ, the Word of God, becoming flesh and taking on my sin and taking on your sin, and him making that way. He took my sin, which I certainly didn't deserve, and of course he took the sin that Adam and Eve committed way back thousands of years ago, before this happened. He took their sin, and he took my sin, and he took your sin. He's going to take the sin of the person that ain't even born yet. We wasn't even born yet when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and we think about the sins that we may commit tomorrow. I mean, the sins that we commit tomorrow are future to us, and we don't even know about it yet, or what we may do tomorrow, but yet the sins that we commit tomorrow or the next day, or if we make a mistake and sin before God, the payment, God has already made the way. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Amen. And I thank God for that, that even though God, I wasn't born yet, even Moses wasn't born yet, and even, David wasn't born yet, even, when David committed his sins of Bathsheba, or when Moses murdered the Egyptian, and then you see the different characters in the Bible that sin, and they wasn't born yet. And we wasn't born yet. And I can certainly go back in my life and look at my life and the sins that I committed in my life. And of course, you don't even want to think about things like that. But you can say the sin that I committed a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 10 years from now, all these sins were taken, and already Jesus Christ, God took these sins and placed them on Jesus Christ, at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he was making, and like I said, he knew about this, you know, 6,000 years ago, you know, approximately 6,000 years ago, when, you know, in Genesis 1, when he said, let there be light, and there was light, you know, and when he was saying these words, let there be animals and fish and creeping things upon the sea, he took the 6 days to make the world, but in that process, he said, okay, I'm going to make Adam and Eve, I'm going to make a human race, and I'm going to make them so they can worship me and they can love me and they can be with me. But I know, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know what thought processes God go through, but he said, I know in his heart that they're going to sin. He says, I know that several thousand years from now, as I'm creating the heavens and the earth, that this man named Alan, you know, that he's going to sin. And this person named Joe, this person named Martha, this person named Mary, or this person named Matthew, or whatever name that you have, that we're all sinners under God, under heaven, we're all sinners. And he says, I'm going to look down in the eons of time, and I said, and for Alan, I'm going to make a way. Even before he was a sinner, I'm going to prepare a Savior for him. And I just thank God for that I can look back and I can see where God has worked in my life and worked in the eons of time. And he said, I was already preparing a way for you to get saved before you was even a sinner. Before you even committed your first sin, I already had the way prepared for you for the forgiveness, to be reconciled with me, and to have that eternal life in heaven so you can stand in a pulpit, preach the word of God, tell people that you're saved. Tell people that you're looking forward to going to heaven. Tell people that you're looking that you have a good thought process in your mind because of a witness of your mom and dad already being dead and gone. But I have that testimony from them that the same thing, that they sinned. But before they became a sinner, God had made a way for them to be saved also. And I take that testimony from them, and I know it in my heart that one day I'm going to go to heaven. One day I know, and they're there already, and I'm going to be able to see them. You know, not because of anything that I've done. I can't do nothing. I do not merit any favor with God. You know, I cannot stand before God in my flesh that I'm robed with now, and I cannot merit any favor from him on my own deeds and my own goodwill. I if I stand before God and get what I deserve from God above, then he's going to wrap me in chains and he's going to throw me into eternal hell that was made for the devils and his angels. If I get what I deserve, then that's where I'm going. But guess what? God says, I don't want you to go to hell. Amen. I don't want Alan to go to hell. Of course, my dad named Nelson and my mom named Clara, he said, I don't want them to go to hell. I want Alan to be able to stand in front of a pulpit and tell people that he is going to go. You know, if I were to die now, guess who I get to see? I get to see Mom and Dad again. I get to see Clara and Nelson again because of their testimony, because they accepted Christ as their Savior. And then, you know, and they, you know, they're in heaven now because God had made a way. Before they was a sinner, God created a Savior. Number two, it says, before there was guilt, there was grace. Amen. And I thank God for grace. It says in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And let's just read that again. So who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. That unmerited favor. You know, God gives us favor without merit. You know, the merit that he looks at me is through the blood of Christ. He says, I see you and you have merit. Because of my son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Because of what he did, you have merit. You have my favor because of him. And I thank God for that, because if it weren't for that, then I would stand on my own merit. I would have to stand on my own 2 feet, and standing on my own merit and my own 2 feet is going to send me straight to hell. And I just thank God that I don't have to do that. Amen. That no man, no woman upon the face of the earth that ever lived or ever will live does not have to stand on their own merit unless they reject Christ. It's our choice. It was my choice in 97 to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior or reject Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can stand over here and say, I accept what Jesus did for me. I accept his favor. I accept his merit. Or I can stand on this side and say, I reject it. I will not believe in it. I will stand on my own 2 feet, just like the human anistic way is. In every aspect of business, if you go into a business and they give you a conference on how to feel good, how to do your business better, they're always telling you to stand on your own 2 feet and believe in yourself and put yourself first. And that won't get you anywhere. That will get you straight into hell itself. And I don't know if anybody's here that's lost, that's undone, and without Christ. I don't know that. But if there is, I pray that you will understand one thing, that you do not have to stand, you cannot stand on your own merit, you cannot stand on your own good works, and you have to trust in what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. That's a long time ago, and it's hard to understand that we have to believe in something that happened 2,000 years ago so that I can be, you know, have merit with God today. But that's the way God is. And God didn't set it up 2,000 years ago. He set it up before the world began. He already had this in mind. He already had it set up that his son was going to come in flesh and die for me, that they're going to take all the sins of the world from Adam and Eve until the last man and woman that dies upon this face, or born upon this face of the earth. He's going to take all of them and cast them upon Christ and punish him instead of me. And I thank God for that I do not have to stand on my own merit. I do not have to stand on my own good works, because I don't have no good work. I mean, I can go out and feed the poor. I can go out and be good to my neighbor. But that is not good enough to get me into heaven. I cannot stand on the law. The law is there not to give us sanctification or justification or redemption. It's the gear to show us that we are guilty. But praise God, before there was guilt, there was grace. And I thank God for that, that God gave us grace before we could ever have guilt. Before we was found guilty, you go into a court of law, you know, you had to stand there in front of a judge and a jury, and they're going to pronounce you either innocent are guilty. You can say, what we know what they can say. Well, what do you say? Are you guilty or innocent? What do you proclaim? And they say, I'm innocent, you know. And then they're going to bring accusations against you. They're going to have witnesses come. They say, this person did this. This person did that. And then the jury of your peers are going to stand there and say, he's innocent or guilty. But I'm glad that God is my judge, not my peers, not my friends, which I know if my lovely wife that loves me, I'm sure if she judged me, she would like, okay, you're going to have, you know, that'd be great. No, but she cannot judge me. She cannot give me grace because she's in the same boat as I am. You know, she was on her way to hell. And on the same very night, we both realized we was lost and accepted Christ as our Savior on the very same night. We became a part of the family of God. And I just thank God, before there was guilt, there was grace. In Isaiah 53, chapter 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, before we ever strayed, before we ever strayed from home, before we ever strayed from God, away from God, he made a way to bring us back to God, to bring us back. I mean, we was, when Adam and Eve sinned and they had the punishment of death, and I don't mean just the physical death that we, that cancer or leukemia may bring, but we're talking about the eternal death, the separation from God that sin brings. And so, as we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity, our sins, of us all. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before I sinned and became unclean, before I, of course, imagine I was very young when I committed my first obvious knowing that I was doing wrong or not doing right sin. When I come out of that age of accountability, come to that age of accountability where God held me accountable at that point, which is probably very young, I became unclean in God's eyes. You're unclean. You're not fit to be a part of the family of God. You're not fit to be in the kingdom of God. You're not fit to be worthy, and to be in my sight or to be in my abode, in my heaven. So I have to make a way for you. So I just thank God, before I was unclean, he made a way for me to become clean. And Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Before I bowed, me and Deborah, my wife, we bowed on our knees on a couch in my pastor's house one night. We had a Jubilee meeting that night, and the preacher brought a good message, and I went home, and I said, dear Lord, I'm talking to Deborah, I said, I don't know that I'm saved. I believe, I can think back when I was 13, and I bowed in the altar, but I don't remember doing anything. I remember a lady talking and telling me things, but I don't remember doing not one thing of accepting Christ as my Savior. And I was trusting that throughout the years up till I was, 97. And I was hoping in that, but I had doubts. And I said, Lord, I cannot go on another day having these doubts and trusting in something that I might have done. As a 13-year-old kid, I want to be sure. And I thank God that him making a way that I can have the surety when I accept Christ as my Savior, that I know beyond any reasonable doubt, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. Number three, it says, before there was a punishment of death, there was a promise of life. Amen. There's a lot of, you go back to talking about the courtroom and the jury, and of course they convict a man of murder, and they sentence him to life in prison or to the electric chair, or to, death row. It would be nice. I'm sure their prisoner was saying his mind, sure be nice if they had a way for me to get out of this. If they had, before they gave me this punishment, if they had a way that I can get out of it and have that forgiveness. But most of all, but they don't. The world cannot have nothing like that. I mean, of course, they can let you go, and they can get pardoned from the governor or the president, but you're still guilty. I mean, you're still a murderer in your sins, you know, and that's not going to change, you know. But I, you know, and when the world looks at that person, he's a murderer, you know. But praise God, I'm saved. But when God looks at me, he doesn't see a guilty sinner. He sees one that he has saved, that he has died for, that he has given eternal life to. And he doesn't see me as me. He looks through the blood of Christ. He looks through what Christ did on that cross 2,000 years. And he can look through that and see me, and he won't see the sins that I committed. He says, I have forgiven you. You've accepted my son. You've accepted what Jesus Christ did upon the cross 2,000 years ago. And that, by doing that and by what Christ did, I see you as an eternal being. I see you as saved. I see you as forgiven. And I see you as one of the family of God now. And I thank God for that, that even before the world began, you know, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was guilt, there was grace. And of course, before there was punishment of death, God gave us a promise of life. We have in John 6:37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then I like to kind of add, I mean, I don't want to add to the word, but just to give it more a thought, you know, I like to say that he cometh to me and then I will never cast out. You know, that Jesus Christ, what he done for me 2,000 years ago, and the plan that God set for me, you know, 6,000 years ago or before the foundation of the world, that God made a way that I can come to him, that he promised me years ago that he would not cast me out. That if I accept what Jesus Christ done, that I, Alan Edge, can go to heaven and have that eternal life. And I thank God for that. And God has made the way simple. He has made this way that we're talking about very simple. You know, I probably talked about this before, a cousin who went to this church one time, and they told her to get saved. She had to roll up and down the aisle three times. I've never heard of that junk in my life. She had to roll up and down the aisle three times to get saved. I mean, there, I guess there's a lot of beliefs out there, but that certainly tastes the cake for me. But I just thank God that I don't have to roll up down the aisle three times. I don't have to say any catechisms or do any catechisms. I don't have to keep any law. I don't have to I was baptized because of the ordinance that God wants us to follow, but that does not save me. I don't have to do that. To have that merit, to have that way to heaven, all I had to do was bow upon my knee. I didn't even have to bow upon my knee in the altar in the church. I bowed my knee upon on a floor next to a couch in my pastor's house, and I accepted him. Because the one thing I was, you know, I didn't have to go to God to accept him. I can't go to God. He had to come to me. He had to find me. That's why they call us lost. When we're not saved, we're lost people. We don't know our way. And the lost person doesn't know his way. He doesn't know how to find God. That's why you have the different beliefs, the rolling up and down the aisle, the catechisms and the different beliefs that you have to be baptized to be saved, or you have to recite poetry or some kind of the traditions you have to go through. You know, they have 1,000 different beliefs in this world to get man reconciled to God. And it's man's effort to try to find God. But God had to come to us. And I thank God that he did come to me a few years back and say, Alan, through the Holy Spirit, he said, Alan, you're lost. And if you don't get on your knees and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, which is a simple thing. That's all I had to do was believe and accept Christ as my Savior, turn away from my sins, and that right there has given me eternal life in heaven. And I thank God for that. Before I was a sinner, God created, before there was any sinner, before Adam and Eve sinned, God created a Savior, or had a plan for a Savior. And of course, before there was guilt in Adam and Eve, before there was guilt in me or you, there was grace. And of course, before there was even a punishment of eternal separation from God in a devil's hell, before that, there was a promise of eternal life with Him. And I thank God for that, that He has, you know, before the world, He prepared a way. And that's why we, you know, love that song at Christmas time, A Way in a Manger. There was a way in that manger. And he was born, and of course, a poor lifestyle, and then of course he lived a poor lifestyle. And then of course we know when he was 33 and a half years old, he was willingly to give his life for you and me, for the world. He was willingly to say, okay, this is our plan. You know, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this is our plan for the human race. God the Father sending me, and I'm willing to go. Amen. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. And I'm willing to go and to be, the punishment from the Roman soldiers was nothing compared to, one, God turning his back on his own son. Two, taking our sins. Can you imagine the weight of all of our sins? Just mine alone. I can imagine just my sins alone will be a tremendous weight upon the Son of God. But every human being that ever lived, every sin that they ever committed, was put together and placed on Him, and He was punished in my stead and in your stead. So I and you wouldn't have to go to hell forever. So the simplicity is there. You know, heaven, accept Christ as Savior. He did it all. Hell, stand on your own merit and trust in yourself and reject Christ and what He did, and then you're in hell forever. And of course, talking about hell, before there was a hell, God prepared a heaven. And I thank God that He has prepared a heaven. And I talked about at the beginning that one day, you know, when I'm raptured out, or if I die tonight or tomorrow, you know, I'm going to open my eyes up and see Jesus Christ Himself. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be able to see Mama and Daddy again. And I always had that thought of Him, you know, Daddy taking me down the streets of gold and pointing me out to David and to Paul and Matthew and John and to Moses and telling me about these men and saying, here this man and that woman that was great men of God. But then we're going to reach a little bit farther, and He's going to point. And I said, no need, Daddy. You don't need to tell me who this is. I know this man. This is Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I know that He died for me, and that He had given me. And I know I'm going to be falling upon my face before Jesus, thanking Him, you know, for what He did for me and making a way. Before there was a world 6,000 years ago, before Adam and Eve ever committed their transgressions, before I was ever born, that Jesus Christ, that God the Father, they made a way for me and you to get into heaven and to have forgiveness of sins. Like I said, I don't know if anybody's here tonight that's lost, but if you are, you don't know Christ as your Savior, then this is the time. Don't walk through them back doors right there. without accepting Christ as your Savior. Because I mean, this ain't the best neighborhood in the world. And I imagine you can probably go out there and somebody will be a drive-by shooting and shoot you. You fall down dead, then there's no hope. You open your eyes up into a hell that is eternal. But you don't have to. God has made a way. Before you was ever born, before you ever committed your first sin, God had made a way for you. And I thank God for that he has done that. And I love the word simplicity. God has made the way simple. You know, he doesn't require us to bend over backwards, jump through fire hoops. We don't have to climb Mount Everest. We don't have to parachute out of a plane at 40,000 feet and hit a target the size of a dime. We don't have to do that. God has made a way, and he's made it simple. All we have to do, like I said, this side over here, accepting Christ as your Savior, right down here in his altar. You just come and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I turn away from my sins, and I trust in thee 100% to get me to heaven, and ask him to come in your life and to forgive you and be your Savior. And that's it. Then you can live a life for him and to be that good person that he will help you with. But then there's this side. Reject what Christ did 2,000 years ago. He made a way thousands of years ago, eons of time ago. He made a way for you and for me. And you can either accept it or you can come on this side and reject what Christ did for you. And you can stand on your own merit. You can stand and you can tell God, you know, I've been out door knocking before and I've asked people that question, are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? And the first thing that comes out of my mouth, I'm a good person. I'm as good as the next person. But I won't get it. I won't get them to heaven just because they're better than me. You know, I'm a Christian, but that's probably a lot of people that's lost is probably better moral than I am sometimes. But that won't get them into heaven. You know that, you know, I forgot the lady's name, that Calcutta, the Saint, you know, Miss Teresa, you know, she worked and worked and worked in Calcutta in India, the poorest, nastiest place probably on the face of the earth, to help them poor people to have a better life. But that's all she can get them was a physical better life. Even before she died, she wrote things that she had doubts of her faith. You know why? Because her faith wasn't in Jesus Christ. Her faith was in her works. And she found out too late, hopefully not too late, but she found out a little late that her works, what her merit, her good deeds, was not good enough to get her into heaven. All she had to do, and she was around it, probably heard it, that all you have to do is to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you'll have eternal life.